This episode is brought to you in partnership with Spinoff Records. Located near Richmond, Virginia, Spinoff Records has a vast, isonic, clean, eclectic selection with new inventory coming in weekly. For the bargain shopper, Spinoff has a large $1 to $5 selection, and whether you make big or conservative purchases, Spinoff supports all of its customers with a loyalty program. If you're not in the area, no need to fret. Spinoff has an amazing website where you can purchase from their amazing inventory and have it shipped to you anywhere in the U.S. For more information, visit them online at spinoffrecords.com or follow their Instagram account at spinoffrecordsrva. Hey everyone, this is Bombs in Context. I'd like to thank you for tuning into this updated episode of the Soup to Nuts show with Claire Beverly. If you love Claire like we do, you can follow her at the links we've provided in the show notes. And if you want to get updates on when our new updated shows post, you can subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Just search for Soup 2, the number 2, Nuts, N-U-T-Z, Streamlined. I know it's hard sometimes. Is another independent artist family member tonight. We've got Claire Beverly.
Hey guys, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
What's going
on? Doing pretty good.
Claire actually has connections to Wolves, so Wolves actually had Claire on three of his tracks, and I don't know if we played any of her tracks when Wolves was on the show. But tonight we're going to talk about Claire as it relates to Wolves and then that whole production piece that he kind of talked about a little bit when he was on the show. And then we have one of her newest tracks, so it's going to be a good time.
Nice.
So what we'll do is kick off the show like we usually do. And I have Galaxy Eyes, which is actually Wolves' track with Claire doing the audio on it. And after that, what we'll do is we will come back and start in. Sound good?
Sounds awesome.
Let's do it.
Sounds good, man. Let's spin it up, get it going, man.
Let's drive up the hill to look out. Let's talk all night, watch the stars till it's light out. We'll be right back.
So we just listened to Galaxy Eyes. We had Wolves on, and like I said, when we asked him about his process, it was kind of related to another family member that we had on, Fry. That was the track that we played, one of his. We played one of his, and then we played the track that he did with Fry. And he kind of talked a little bit about the process. So before we get into Galaxy Eyes, and kind of, I want to talk about that related to the track, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am 21, from Greenville, South Carolina. I've been playing piano and music for probably since I was 4, but I've only been singing for about 2 or 3 years now.
Really?
Yes, I used to sing when I was really little, and then this neighborhood bully that I looked up to so much said I was horrible, so I never sang again until I was like 18. We're cool now. We got out of it.
It's funny that you said the piano. So is that your primary instrument?
Yes, definitely. Where I write all my music. It makes it very difficult, though, to transpose it to guitar, because I write all of my songs in minors. And then when you try it on the guitar, especially when you're not good at the guitar like me, it makes it very difficult.
So how did you and Wolves get connected?
He just DM'd me over Instagram. That's the earliest that I can remember. And he was my first collab I've ever done, and my favorite. And so it was all pretty random. I checked out his page, and at first I was like, is this a joke? And I looked at him, I was like, oh, no, that's not a joke. He's really good. So I was like, yeah, I'll sing anything you want me to, sure.
He didn't get too much into the weeds on that. So you working that collab with him, you were in two different locations, right?
Completely, yep.
Okay, so how did that actually work? He said that when he worked with Fry, she just kind of sent in vocals, and then he did all the beats himself. And that's kind of where we left the track composition when we talked about it. But from your perspective, from what you did and how you passed that forward, what was that process in that collaboration with Wolf?
He would send me a track, him singing it, and then he'd send me the lyrics. So I'd listen to that, and I'd learn on the piano myself, and I'd practice it there. But the hardest part was that the way he sang it, and then the beat that he'd made for it was in a different key than I could sing. So I would send him a track of me singing, and he actually transposed all of his songs into my key, which was super cool. He's so talented.
Oh.
And so then after that, I just bought a pretty okay microphone and just did it on my computer and sent it over.
That's insane. So how long did that collab take with being in different locations and then the key change? And I mean, because that's obviously like writing a song twice.
Yeah, just in a matter of days he had it ready. He was just completely on point. Whenever I was like, hey, I need this, he's like, I got it. He's like, do you need anything else? But what also made it difficult was I was on tour in Nashville while we were doing this as well. I had gotten signed with producers, Charlotte Avenue Entertainment, and I was actually doing rock, completely different vibe from what I'm doing now. Actually, Wolves kind of helped inspire my transformation from rock to more indie pop. And so I was just touring, making some songs, making my first EP, Trainwreck, that I released a little while ago, doing some shows at some clubs, just trying to figure out how this thing all worked, because I was still pretty new. And so I was in and out of different hotels. I'd never had any internet. And so it was just like trying to get in contact with him whenever I could. And he was trying to release this. So I was trying to get as fast as he could so he could release it and then still be able to be everywhere I needed to be in Nashville.
Was this one of those things that you just did for you then, the collab with Wolves, based on, because I've listened to Trainwreck. And for those of you who don't know, you could go out onto the streaming services, look up Claire there, and you can listen to all the EPs. Obviously, with the showtime, we can only play a certain amount of tracks, but Trainwreck's out there to listen to. You're not going to be disappointed with any of her tracks. So make sure that you listen to it all. But like you said, this is kind of outside what Trainwreck is. Was this something that you did off to the side and, you know, your producers and everything just kind of focused on what you were actually doing in Nashville? Did they like bless it or did you just pick this and do it for you?
You know, I didn't even ask them. I was scared they would say no, and I liked his song. I liked his sound so much, I didn't even bring it up.
That's incredible.
Until after we had done it. My motto is, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission.
You said that it like working with Wolves had marked your transformation into the indie spectrum. So are you no longer signed and you're just kind of doing your own thing? What happened from what you were doing in Nashville to now?
Well, I'm still signed with them. I just told them, I was like, you know, I liked The Rock. It was fun. But I just wrote a pop song. You want to hear it and see if we kind of want to change vibes? Because I hop genres a lot. When I first started out, I was doing folk. And then I was like, don't want to do folk. So I did rock. And then I listened to Wolves. And I was like, this is super cool. I like the kind of EDM vibe. I was like, let's try some pop. And I think they're exhausted, but they're really patient with me.
Oh, so how would you describe your sound then? Are they marketing you as pop?
At the moment, they're marketing me as indie pop.
Yeah, and that's what we like, is that there's a lot of, because you're right. I mean, and I wasn't sure if it was based on album or if it was just kind of based on your overall vibe as an artist. But there is a difference in each of the tracks as you listen to them, from Trainwreck to, I mean, obviously, you are credited, but in order to hear Galaxy Eyes and the Maps, and if you could see me now, like those, you're going to have to go to Wolves. So make sure you support our other family member Wolves and click on all of Claire's tracks. You change your vibe.
Music is so much about how you feel and expressing yourself and showing what you feel to other people, that I don't think you should be bound to one certain genre, because that might not be how you are in that moment, because people change.
So did you do a country vibe thing? You mentioned folk. Initially, were they looking to you to do like a country type vibe? Or
I'm honestly not sure what they were thinking signing with me. Because when I first met them, I had only been singing for a couple months. They weren't sure exactly what I was going to be. We started with folk, because that's what I liked and I listened to a lot, and they knew that one a lot better since they're based in Nashville and did a lot of country. So a couple of my songs that I haven't quite released have actually quite a bit of a country vibe. But then as I grew as an artist, they realized that's not really who I was. And so then we changed more to the complete opposite of the spectrum, to rock.
How old were you when you got into the entire scene and then they found you, or you went to them?
I was fresh out of high school, so I think 18, almost 19. And they just happened to be in South Carolina visiting my friend's museum, starting to talk, and I was signed within the week while they were visiting.
So how did that work? I mean, it was just a happens chance meeting, and then did you tell them that you sang? Your friend mentioned that you sang? Like, how did that all fit together?
Yeah, I had started a YouTube page, and my friend had mentioned that I had a YouTube page, and they should check it out. So they checked it out. And then they followed my YouTube to my Instagram and DM'd me through there saying we should meet up.
Wow.
Which was very skeptical for me. I was like, I don't know who these people are. There's no telling. I'm just going to go meet them downtown and hope for the best. And it all turned out pretty okay. It's a lot. If the door is open, I'm not going to not go through it. I'm going to run through it.
I find that interesting, because sometimes there's a big play that luck has in it, you know?
And there is the right time.
So what songs did you actually, like, how far back? Because I was on your YouTube page, too. So what did they mention, like a specific video or song that you did that really grabbed them?
I had a song up there called City Lights, which I think is actually taken down now. And I had done it for a school project, and that's what they had seen. That was, like, the only video I up to. And to be honest, it was not very good. So that's why it's been taken down.
Was that just a choice for you, or was that a choice in the discussions with them?
It was actually a little bit of both, because I didn't like how the vocals sounded, because I had done it on my laptop before I had a microphone. So the vocals weren't good enough compared to what they had produced.
Right.
And it was also just such a completely different sound while they were trying to brand me with the folk, that they said it'd be best to take it down and maybe we could reproduce it later.
And have you had made moves to do that?
No, because as soon as we were going to, I changed genres.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome.
I still sing that song a lot at stuff. If I'm doing like little restaurant or coffee shop places, it's a good one for it.
just the paths that each of you all take, you know, the artists that we have on, it's just, I'm just mystified by that you could just be one day just kind of hanging out. Next thing you're signed with a record producer. So what did they talk to you about? Like, what was the conversation that you had? Because obviously I'd be the exact same way. That skepticism that all of a sudden somebody meets you and they want to sign you. And, you know, that's obviously going to tie to your future and monies for both you and them, you know, those types of things. So, like, what were the things that drew them to you as we listened to your tracks? What were the things that particularly caught their ear to make them want to just kind of out of nowhere within a week sign you?
I think one thing they really liked was I have a pretty good vocal range. So I can go pretty low and I can get the high notes while still keeping my same voice without having to change, I guess.
Your vocal tonality in it. I mean, even if anybody's like right now perusing your Instagram, I think whatever live videos that you have on Instagram, everyone's always like, "Holy shit," or "Oh yes," or "You go, girl," or whatever. Because you can go wherever you need to go, which is pretty impressive. And I think that leads to where your sound changes too. That you can go with that EDM type vibe versus the folk, and you can just change between the two at any given moment, which is pretty incredible.
Another thing they really liked was when we had originally met, I brought my song portfolio, just like poems or random things that I'd written that I liked, and I showed it to them, and they really liked that I had so much, I have so many songs already under my belt. I mean, I have like 100 songs written, and maybe 10 of them are decent, and then maybe 5 of them are like good. But even if they're not all great, which happens, it's good to have a bunch of them that you can edit or smash together or even just show that I know how to write.
So how do you decide which ones you let the public hear?
That's all up to them. I probably send them like 2 or 3 songs every couple weeks. And some of them, they're like, "Oh, that's nice, honey." And the other ones, they're like, "We're going to produce that now." So sometimes it's like, this is my baby and now my feelings are hurt. And then other times they're like, "I like this so much, even though you don't have the money to produce it, I'm going to produce it for you."
Now, do you ever hold back from what you send to them? Or
I used to, but we've grown so close that we're more like a family now. And they're just so nice people that now I'll just send them anything. I don't ever have to worry with them. And they actually even warned me that if I got signed with a record label, they told me not to send them all of my music. Just in case. Which sounds horrible to say, but it does make sense.
It's just incredible. Just the whole intellectual property fears that you all have to face just being artists. And shit, that would even cause me to second guess like playing a song for the first time in a cafe. You know, it's like, I want to make sure I capture this all before I do anything live. You know, it just puts you on edge.
Yeah, this one producer came in while I was sitting at a coffee shop. And he actually threatened to take my song. I think he really was doing it to push my button. But he was talking about how his singer could sing this so much better and how she would be great for it. He's like, and this isn't even copyrighted, is it? So he's like, I can just take it wherever I want. And I was like, actually, it's copyrighted, you asshole. But go ahead and try.
Okay, so what is the process of that then? Do you write a song and then everybody kind of comes to the table and says, this is the one that we're going to produce out, then you copyright it before you go live? Or have you ever just tried out songs before, just as a, let's see what happens if I'm kind of on it, but let's see how the crowd goes and then decide what you're going to do with it? I mean, you just basically confirmed my fears on that you could basically do something and then find out that you really love it and then somebody take it from you. So how do you protect yourself?
What I do with all of my songs is I write all the lyrics, I record them on a really crappy recording on my piano, and then I write the chord progression down. I stick all of that into an envelope with the date written on it and my name and my signature, and then I mail it to myself so it has a stamp on it and the date from when it was mailed, and then gotcha. I leave it completely sealed. And so yep. If anyone were to ever come over and take a sealed document with a date showing that this is mine.
Awesome. Man, that's insane. That's the first time I think we've ever heard that type of incident.
That definitely is, man.
I mean, I just can't believe that the dude actually walked up to you in the front of a gig and said, "Hey, I'm just going to steal your track." Like that
the audacity. I was so shocked. Like I stopped singing and just looked at him.
So did you have your crew with you there? I mean, like, did they have to like get involved? No, that's
how, it was just me. I was just singing at a little coffee shop with my piano, and it was just me and my piano. And this guy just came up. He's like, "Yeah, I like it. It would sound really great with one of my artists." But I still see him every once in a while too, walking downtown. I'm just like, I'm gonna walk the other way.
You know, for those who want to start off but aren't sure what to do, what are some recommendations for them? I mean, there's a lot that you've just unpacked for us on, okay, intellectual property, the ease of intellectual theft. Like, what are some things, like, for folks starting off that they can do to protect themselves in those situations, other than the personal copywriting trick that you just kind of talked about?
One thing that I would say is try to get a music lawyer. Not someone necessarily that you have to pay, as in like pay all the time to sit down, but call a music lawyer, have them look over any contracts you sign, because you will sign your life away so easily. I've looked at some of the contracts, even contracts I've been offered, and the deals that they'll give you are insane. You can take like, you'll get like 3% of your sales and they'll get everything else. And they'll have it in the fine print. One guy that had offered me a different contract deal said that in the contract, I had to give my all, which I would anyways. But in the contract, it said that he does not have to put forth any effort whatsoever, and that he is not reliable for getting me shows, gigs, or anything, but that I was not allowed to take any gigs or shows without his permission. So if he wanted to, he could just have me completely shelved with not playing any gigs, and I'd be under contract, and he wouldn't have to give me it if he didn't feel like it. And so I looked over the contract, I was reading the fine print, and I was like, how on earth could I sign this? And not only that, but he would get 30% of my sales. And that's only just on gigs and music. That's not even talking about labels and money from that.
So did he actually, he or she actually have artists?
I researched it, and he only had a couple. And I figured that was probably why. Yeah, he definitely covered all of his bases that he could.
That's insane.
Now, did you have somebody walk you through all these steps, or was it kind of like a baptism by fire? And
it was a little bit of both. A lot of it was just getting thrown in it and hoping for the best. But then I also have my parents looking out for me. My dad's he's a lot smarter than I am. That's for sure. And so he kind of looked through all my first contracts that I was offered to see which ones were okay.
So it sounds like you have a good support structure as well.
That I do, and that is the best thing to have. Whether it's friends or family or an uncle twice removed, anyone that has your back and can support you on the ups and downs is amazing.
So how did you determine that? Because it sounds like, you know, just from your last statement, it sounded like you had multiple contracts. So how do you know, even with a really good contract, what are some tips for artists coming on that feel of who they should go with and who they shouldn't? Because sometimes you're wrong, you know, you feel uncomfortable with people and then you're like, oh wait, you were okay.
The people that I ended up signing with, when I looked at what they were getting, they had made it clear that all of my music was my music. They didn't own any rights to my music. They didn't make any money off my music. The only thing that they would make off my music, or ever will, is when they get me a show, they get a small percentage of that because they found it, they got the band together. And then when I get signed with, or if I get signed with a record label, they get a bit of the signing bonus. And that's the only thing they're trying to take, instead of a bunch of the other labels or contracts I've looked at that try to take everything. I think that's the main way to tell from like a good person that you're signing with and a bad person. Or not necessarily a bad person, but a businessman.
I think you're sharing a lot of valuable information that we haven't previously heard from anybody because of, you know, a lot of them have just kind of cut ties anyway. You're in a really good sweet spot where you've got representation, but you also have the independence of an artist. And I think we had one artist that had just signed on to a label, and most of the others didn't have like said managers And if they did, they either had a chokehold on them or, you know, they just said, you know, management isn't for me. And they kind of went and did their own thing. So I appreciate you sharing all that, especially for those that are in the show that are artists that are kind of hungry for what do I do next or where am I supposed to go and what am I supposed to do? Because even sharing tracks here, that gets you so far, but you're going to have to broaden out. And then when you do get approached, I can't even imagine the fear of what do I do because of the, I've never been reached out to before. And what do I just let this slip by or do I do, you know, do I just say, look, this doesn't really look good and hope to God something happens next. So I appreciate you sharing that with us.
If one person bites at you, it's pretty much guaranteed someone else is going to too. Because I don't like to cut ties with anybody because people change and then you also never know who they're going to be in the future. So I try not to cut ties or start fights with anybody, regardless if I like what they're giving me or not. But I would always wait and get a second opinion on everything.
What is like your top five things that people should focus on? Is it streams on services? Is it, you know, like what are those things for independent artists that they should be thinking about? Because I'm sure that some people have like an independent music strategy, but maybe you have with your experience some things that they should be thinking about that they haven't yet. So what do you think your top five things for independent artists to start taking care of themselves are?
The first thing, of course, would be streams. You got to get your music out there. I would say I personally use TuneCore, and that puts all of your music out on every single streaming platform there is. Well, that they have, at least. And that's a lot. It's all around the world. I've got like two or three plays in Afghanistan and in India, China. And it may only be that one person that accidentally hit on my song, but they still had access to it. Okay. But secondly, I would say just gig out everywhere, whether you're getting paid or not. Get a street performance license, just get out there and just sing and create a following. Because both of those things will get you a following, and that's what's going to get you signed. Because no record label is going to sign somebody that doesn't have a following. And that's what I'm trying to work on right now. Record labels want right now is they don't, not like they used to. They used to want to build up an artist. Now they just want an artist that's already built. They want that cookie cutter that's already got everything. They don't have to put any money into them. They're just ready to be thrown up on stage. So get a good stage performance too. Something that's helped me is I got onto, since I know instruments, I got onto a dueling pianos. And so that's really good to learn how to do because it creates a lot of, I guess, stage to audience communication, like callbacks and singing together and getting them hyped up. Because if you, no matter how good your voice is, if you can't put on a show, no one's going to come and watch. And so those are the most important things I would think to getting up there and getting started.
That's incredible. I appreciate the insight on that.
Yeah, thank you guys. Absolutely.
All right. So we are here tonight with Claire Beverly. This has been pretty amazing so far. We listened to Galaxy Eyes, which is actually another family member Wolves track with Claire doing the audio. Wolves does a really good job on his album of labeling himself as well as the vocalists. So make sure that you go out to Wolves' album and click on Claire's tracks because she has three on his new release. But what I want to do is just for the sake of time, go to the next music set. So this one is kind of stepping away, as we talked about, from that EDM vibe. I'm going to play Sunflower Days.
Sounds awesome. Thank you.
Oh, anytime. Thank you so far. And what we'll do is cut to this next set, and we'll be right back.
Sounds great, man.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
You brought me flowers to say sorry, cause those words are too hard for you to say. You won't admit that you regret it, we'll just ignore our problems anyways. Sunflower days, laying with you, ignoring all the things you said yesterday. Like I don't love you, I know it's not true. Sunflower days.
we're better off lonely. Yellow petals on the floor next to broken glass from the night before. Old picture frames thrown to the ground. I don't need you anyways. Sunflower days, laying with you, ignoring all the things you said yesterday. Like I don't love you, I know it's not true. Sunflower days, I think we're better off lonely. So better off lonely. It's the same if you're here or you're gone. I think we're better off lonely. I'm the only one I can count on. I think we're better off lonely. I think we're better off lonely. Take me back to sunflower days, laying with you, knowing all the things you said yesterday. Like I don't love you, I know it's not true. So about times, I think we're better off lonely. Didn't know I was lonely in those sunflower days.
Yeah, we are back. Soup to Nuts Tuesday night. New family member, Claire Beverly. This is, if you're just jumping in, our second set. We played Galaxy Eyes with her team up collab with Wolves, who was our family member from, I think, 4 weeks ago. And we just listened to her individual track, Sunflower Days.
Claire, I'm gonna cut bombs off because I know where he's going and I want to go there first. So
go ahead, man.
What I gotta know, that track's hot. It's hot. It was catchy. It was fun to listen to. To be honest with you,
I was actually hanging out with my best friend, and I write a lot of sad songs. I'm not a sad person, but I write a lot of sad songs, and so she was just like, "Try with a really happy topic. Try something with like sunflowers." I was like, okay. So I wrote a sad song about sunflowers. I meant for it to be happy, and it just didn't work.
Funny that you mentioned that it ended up kind of being a sad song, because you've got, like, when I listen to this one, it's got more of that up vibe to it. But when I saw some of the videos, and I think it was the actual music video for it, or there was a video for it that had like a lot of multicolors with you in outline. Yeah. And then I think it was you perform this live, that it is. It's almost like three different versions of the same song, that your live version was a lot more vibey and lo-fi. Sad, but then when I listened to the real track, I was like, oh, wait a minute, there's more of a kind of upswing and, you know, happiness to it, until you, like you said, core down to the lyrics, and then you're like, oh, wait.
But I think that's also the main point of the song, was that what I wrote it about was that while I was in this relationship that I wrote it about, I thought that I was so happy in it, and I didn't realize till after I got out of it that it was awful. And so that kind of ties in with that, because it sounds upbeat and happy, but when you look into it, the lyrics are kind of like, yikes.
That's insane. So what is the story behind it? Tell us a little bit about it, things that we should focus on, you know, why you chose specific words or phrases, you know, things like that. Tell us a little bit about it.
So in the song, it has the words sunflower days. Of course, that's what it's called. But in the actual lyrics, days is spelled two different ways, depending on the meaning behind it. Sometimes it's days as in the days of the week, and then other times it's talking about how I was so blinded to the relationship that I was in that I didn't realize how manipulative it was. And so throughout the chorus, it says sunflower days, laying with you, ignoring all the things you said yesterday. And so that would be like the days of the week. And then at the end, it was, I didn't know I was lonely in that sunflower days, meaning I didn't realize when I was so blinded that I just couldn't see.
So what made you cut that line and then choose the D-A-Z-E versus the D for the actual song title?
I chose it because even though this song is about what happened in those happy days that weren't so happy, the main point of the song was that I was completely, you know, just manipulated and disguised. I was in that daze of, I thought something was happening, but something wasn't happening. So the whole song is about me being so confused about what happened and not knowing how sad and lonely I was. So I chose days as a kind of, I guess, a precursor to how the song ends up being.
So how do you feel that you've grown as an artist? And how do you feel that this sound is you now versus the way that you actually started, even with songwriting? Because you mentioned that you write your own songs. So how does that process grown for you? And how do you feel like your sound is actually going to grow with these upcoming tracks that you're going to release?
Well, for starters, these are the first songs that I've, the pop songs that are coming out. I've got another song that I'm setting up to release called 2 Feet Down. So that's going to be coming out in probably 3 or 4 weeks. But these songs are a lot more personal to me. Trainwreck and that whole album beforehand, none of those songs are written about me and my personal experiences. Those are written about my friends that I had seen and witnessed them experience, but never songs about what I had felt. So these new pop songs are so much more personal and about things that I've actually personally gone through instead of as a bystander. And I also think that might be why my sound changed so much, so drastically, because it's not about other people anymore, it's about me.
Do you feel, was there, like, were you guarded? Like, why did you do the third-party witnessing for your song choices as opposed to writing about you personally, and what kind of triggered that change for you?
I think it was that I just didn't want people to know how I was feeling. It's so much easier to look back, and maybe the fact that I didn't even know what I was feeling. So it was so much harder for me to put myself out there on the line when I can see my friends going through this, and I can see all of their emotions and read their emotions so much easier than I know mine. So that it was just easier to just put stuff out about someone else and put that heart on the line instead of having to put my own heart on the line.
Would you say that the folk was kind of centered, like that folk vibe was centered around that third party view, and now the pop indie vibe grew from you internalizing your lyrics?
I would definitely say so. Because I think that the folk and the pop, while they sound very different, the lyrics and the writing style is very similar. So I think in the beginning, before I was throwing my songs out there to actual people, I wasn't scared to release my emotions. But when feedback came back, sometimes good, sometimes bad, it was a lot harder. So I kind of protected myself and wrote about someone else instead of me. As an artist, something you have to overcome and realize is that your music is not going to be for everybody. Everyone has different tastes, and some people are going to hate it. And some people are just going to hate it for a reason. And then you just got to realize, got to do you and put out what you think is good. And if you like it and that's what you want, then that's all that really matters.
So how did you overcome that? Because that seems very difficult to do.
I think, honestly, it was part of just working on stage that kind of helped me overcome and accept myself for who I was. Because before my first couple shows, I was sitting on the stage completely frozen. I would be happy if my finger moved. I was a plank up there. And then my producers were like, I don't care what you do, just please move. Just do something. You can't just awkwardly stand there because then everyone else is going to be awkward. And so as I became more comfortable like with who I am, especially on stage, I think I became more comfortable with putting myself out there. And by putting myself out there constantly, even though I was scared, and overcoming that stage fright and that fear of being in front of so many people, I think it became a lot easier to pull my emotions out there. Because if I can stand on stage and sing in front of like 200 people, 300 people, then it's not nearly as hard to write a song in my bedroom all alone.
So now for your lyrics, is that, you know, all internal, or do you reach out to your support system with your lyrics as well?
It's almost all internal. I usually write all my songs in about 10 or 15 minutes. And so I get them all out immediately, and then I'll show my parents. And if they say something, I might tweak a word or something. I just recently recorded a song called Amber Eyes. It was one word that I used that people don't really use anymore. It's not relevant. And so I was just like, tweak that word to something that people will actually know what it is. Even though it hurt my feelings, I tweaked it, and it turned out a lot better because people were like, what on earth are you saying? Like, what's that word? Are you in, like, the 12th century? And so it helped out.
Bombs does that all the time. Bombs uses words I just don't get anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Some people had other people do their homework in college for them, Bombs. Not everybody's as smart as you. Well, Claire obviously is, but, you know, some of us were the dumb jocks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was that kid that didn't even know we had homework because I was writing poetry in class.
There you go.
Gee.
And see, it worked out for you too.
It didn't at the time. But it's okay now.
How do you trial out songs? Because you have your support infrastructure, and it seems that your support infrastructure is actually pretty honest with you. But how do you test out what would work live and what kind of wouldn't, but great for an EP, but may not be something that you'd want to perform?
I have a recurring gig every Friday, actually, at this little crepe place in downtown Greenville, Crepe du Jour. But the music that I play there, since we don't have a music license, I have to do all originals. And it's a 4-hour gig. So I'm doing all originals for 4 hours, which is sometimes fun and sometimes it sucks because I have to throw in my songs that I don't think are good enough into the mix so I have enough stuff to fill 4 hours. But doing that, sometimes I realize that I actually do end up liking a song if, like, the people clap more or people come up to me like, I like this song. So sometimes I can take my throwaways and put them back into the running. Or sometimes I'll sing a song that's in the running and there's just no response. I'm like, okay, well, I like the song, but you don't. So I'm just going to take this out of the mix for a bit and revise it.
I saw Kimby's question down there in the chat. And I was thinking the exact same thing. So again, because you're the first, we've played artists that we've had on the show, we played their covers, or, you know, we had an artist on the show and we helped him get a gig and he actually played a lot of covers and I videoed some of the covers, but no one has ever talked about the business side of covers. So you had mentioned that you're like, I don't have the rights for the covers piece. So I got to do my originals. So what is that process? What kind of hoops do you have to jump through in order to sing somebody else's song? Is even something in, like, your crepe restaurant gig? Because it would seem to me, I mean, is it one of those things that because social media is so out there, you won't even risk it, or you can't risk it? Because it would seem to me, it'd be like, screw it, I really want to play the song, I feel like it, so I'm going to play it. So what do you have to do in order to get the rights to even just play a song in one of those smaller gigs when you're trying your music out?
That gets rough, actually. Because in the beginning, we didn't realize that we had to have a music license. Because the license isn't on me, it's on the restaurant. So that's all up to them to get it. But it's so expensive. It was like $2,000. To get the music license, that they just couldn't pay me and the music license. And so we were doing just regular music, and one of the people actually came from whatever place they're signed with that it allows them to play music, and they tried to sue them for me singing covers. And they were like, dude, we had no idea, we didn't know, like, our fault, we won't do it again, like, no more covers. And so we figured out by looking at the contract, a loophole, that I can do original. And I was like, hey guys, I can do originals. They might be really sad, but I can do originals. And they're like, bet, do it. And so we started singing again. And that place came back and they were like, what are you doing? And we're like, singing originals, what are you doing? And they tried to sue us for it. They tried to sue us like $10,000. But I had thought ahead of them and I recorded every single performance of 4 hours on my camera and put on my laptop. So when they tried to sue us, I sent it over to them. I was like, have fun listening to like 68 hours of the same songs over and over again. But we have the proof that we didn't sing one single time. And so that's how we got around that. So they did try to come for us, but we had the proof.
That's crazy. So it's just based on your location where you actually do the covers. So if you were to do, like you said, street performer stuff, it's less stringent than it would be inside a restaurant?
Oh, yeah. The street performance was so easy. You just pay, like, where I am at least, you just paid $50 and they gave you a street license and you can do whatever you want covered.
Wow. And so what's the, what's like, if you wanted to do covers in a location, what's the price tag on that looking like that?
Any other location, I've never had to pay any money. Usually the restaurants have already gotten their license for live music.
Okay. So it's part and parcel of that license then.
Yeah. So anywhere else that I play, like I play at some restaurants all around downtown Greenville and they've all got their license. I can play whatever I want and it's great. But at the one specific place, only originals.
There's a benefit to that because it goes back to you actually getting to trial out your music, right? And then folks, hopefully, knock on wood, giving you feedback on those ones that you're not sure of.
Yep. Sometimes it hurts, but it definitely helps.
Talk to us about your musical tastes. When you're not doing you on stage, what are those types of influences that your ear catches or the things that you like?
Well, Elvis and Elton John, I got my love from them at a very young age. Watching Lilo and Stitch, that's my favorite movie of all time. Probably always will be. And then The Lion, those are my two favorites. And Elton John wrote a lot of the music for The Lion King, and Elvis was played a lot in Lilo and Stitch. And so that's what kind of blossomed my love for music, was from those two movies and listening to them. And so after having like an obsession with them, like an Elton John birthday party and an Elvis Christmas, I just kind of started blossoming and blooming into my love of music through them. And that's where from Elton John, I would listen to his music and try and play it on the piano. And with Elvis, I would listen to his music and try and learn on the guitar and things like that. They really blossomed my taste for music from the very beginning.
And boom, friends, that is how it is done. Usually what we do here to close everything up, this has been your show. So I let the artists close it out. So announcements that you've got coming out, you kind of talked about some of the tracks that you have coming up, gigs that you have coming up in case we've got any people listening that are actually in your area, because you're within driving distance for I think a couple of us.
Well, thanks you guys, of course, for having me. It's been a blast. And thank you guys all for listening and adding some of the tracks. That's super cool. It was great to talk to you guys. If you'd like, I'd love for you to follow me on my Instagram. It's claire.beverly_official. And then I also have my website, which has all of my upcoming shows on it and gigs. And that's Claire Beverly Official. I like to keep things short and sweet, obviously, by my usernames. And again, just thank you guys so much. I hope to hear from you guys again. Oh, and also make sure to follow Wolves too. We did some awesome collabs and he's an amazing writer and singer. Some really cool EDM stuff on it. So make sure you check him out too.
Now you're both part of our family. That's right. Yep. Check out Wolves. If you happen to miss the week that he was on, that podcast should be coming out. And three of the tracks on his album have Claire on them. So make sure that you bite those as well if you want the complete Claire collection from listening to her tonight. So again, Claire, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on the show and being part of it.
This is awesome. Thank you so much, guys.